From Italy to the Canadian Rockies and beyond, Gazette Travel makes exploring the world easy and stress-free. See our full lineup of tours at thegazette.com/travel.
Welcome to the Pitting Combination Podcast. I'm KJ Pilcher with the Gazette, alongside Hall of Famer Dick Briggs. No, this isn't your weekly golf podcast. We're talking wrestling here in a little bit more, but happy St. Paddy's Day to you there, Briggsy.
Hi, and back at you there, laddie.
Of course, big week this week, the NCAA Division I championships. It's here, as Coach Tom Brand said yesterday, 0 hour is upon us. This is what the whole season leads up to, the culmination, the crown jewel of the season, in Cleveland this weekend. We'll talk about that, break down Iowa, Iowa State, UNI matchups, take a look at the tournament in general. We'll also look back, at the D3 championships that were held in Cedar Rapids. Great production there. Awesome tournament. Here at the Alliant Energy Powerhouse. We'll talk a little bit about that. Briggsy, what's on your mind here? You know, we're kind of at that part of the year where there's a lot of irons in the fire, where the winter stuff is coming to an end. Spring stuff is starting up, you know, golf, baseball, softball, what have you. You know, anything on your mind?
Right. I mean, high school's done. NAIA men's and women's are done. Division III, Division II is done. The only thing left is Division I. And, yeah, yesterday, instead of golfing, I was out plowing and shoveling. So it was going to be a little pause in between until we get some nice weather before we go out and do some outdoor things. But speaking of outdoor things, let's do this before we get started. I'm gonna have some fun with you. Non-wrestling. Right. Okay. So, you know, we've been kind of doing this throughout the season, having some fun. So here's the blind ranking again for you. And I want you to rank these five baseball movies that are not filmed in Iowa.
Not filmed in Iowa. All right.
So number one, I'm gonna get a pencil here. Number one. The Natural. We're doing five, by the way. So
okay.
This is tough because you need to guess which ones I pulled out.
Yeah, so which ones? Not filmed in Iowa, so Field of Dreams is out. You know, I have a penchant for more comedic movies. I'm going to put that at three. I'm going to put that at number three.
That's not maybe not a bad start. Okay, The Rookie.
Oh, that's the one with Dennis Quaid. That's a feel good movie. I'll put that at number four.
Number four.
Right now. No, can I change it really quick?
Oh yeah, sure.
I'm gonna put it at number five.
Five. All right. I have to say this. That's one of my favorites. So I would. Higher, these are all my favorites. So it's anyway, okay. The third one is The Sandlot.
See, this is tough because I've got two that are kind of.
This is
I'm gonna put that at number two. Gonna put that at number two.
Yep, Benny.
He's stealing the room. I almost put it at number one.
Okay. All right. Major League.
Yeah, that's.
So you have one and four.
Yep.
You got The Sandlot at two, The Natural at three, The Rookie at five.
Yep. I wish I knew what your next one was. I'm going to put it at number one.
Number one, Major League. Okay, yep. And the last one at number four is the Bad News Bears.
Okay, yep. I think that tracks.
You good with that?
Yep.
All right, there we go. Just a little
actually, fun. My favorite, I thought you were going to throw out there was Bull Durham.
I could have went Major League Bull Durham. I did this and yep. Yes, you're right. Those two to me are kind of
Major League Bull Durham and the Sand Ladder kind of right up there. And just because of Keeley and Katie, A League of Their Own is up there as well. You know,
some people like that. What's the one about the perfect game with Kyle? Oh, hey, speaking of that,
Love of the Game.
So hang on. There's a bonus question. Okay. How many baseball movies has Kevin Costner made?
Oh.
And can you name them?
Let's see. I think he was in The Slugger's Wife, Field of Dreams, Love of the Game. Bull Durham. I think I'm missing at least one. I'm going to say five. And those are four. I said five, but.
Okay, so I can't confirm the first one. I've never even heard that
movie. Oh, really?
Did he have a cameo or something in that? I don't know.
I'm not sure.
So another one was Chasing Dreams. And I never even heard of this one either. I had to look that one up. In 1982 and again in 1989. Anyway, it was kind of a cameo role, just the start of that. But so I would have accepted three or four. And if you can confirm that first one, then you're right. So.
It's actually Michael O'Keefe was the lead in The Slugger's Wife. I thought it was Kevin Costner, but Michael O'Keefe was. It was a 1985 movie with Rebecca De Mornay.
So actually, you were correct. You said four. You just had that one mixed up.
Yeah, I had it mixed up with another one. So
who's heard of Chasing Dreams? I mean, anyway.
Yeah, I haven't.
All right, on to the good stuff. The wrestling.
Yeah. All right, that was fun. That was fun. Of course, baseball. Obviously, one of my favorite. I think a lot of people know baseball, softball, big deal in our family. So you know, in addition to wrestling, so. That's cool. I always enjoy that. Well, let's talk a little bit. Let's get to the wrestling here. The D1 Championships is starting Thursday at Rocket Arena in Cleveland. Iowa State with 10, Iowa with 9. Didn't get an at-large for Voinovich at 157. Vinny Zurbin did get it. We kind of talked about that last week and thought that would be the case, actually. UNI ends up with 5. Sima and Fox getting at-larges, joining Farber, Downey, and Caleb Rachi. If you haven't, venture to thegazette.com. You can see our feature on Caleb Rachi. They were very, very accommodating for me, doing some phone interviews while I was down in Florida last week. So I appreciate the UNI folks setting that up and taking the time out of their busy schedule to do that. So make sure to get to thegazette.com and check out that feature on Caleb Rachi getting back to the NCAA tournament after a year hiatus and his first and only year with the Panthers after transferring from Iowa. I guess first off, anything really surprise you about the kind of the Hawkeyes and where they're sitting right now, just kind of going over their seeds here to kind of start out with? Yeah.
I would say they fared pretty well, don't you think?
I do. I think they got the benefit of the doubt in that formula a little bit in a few places. You know, just kind of looking at it, was it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 other 9 are top 8 seeds. And I don't know if I would have thought that.
Right. And, you know, they kind of didn't get it at the Big Ten, wrestled really well and above their seeds and earned, I guess, better recognition. Or maybe, I don't know, the formula gets spread out a little. I don't know how that, you know, but it seems better at Nationals than it did at Big Tens, I thought.
I agree wholeheartedly. You know, seeing a couple of them, you know, Ferrari one spot higher at Nationals than he was seated at Big Tens. Keter two spots higher. And then Peterson, 8 seed at the Big Tens, 8 seed at the national tournament. I think if you're Iowa, you got to feel pretty fortunate when it comes to that.
Right. I like Bailey's seed too at 7. I mean, I was not sure I was expecting him there, but I'm not disappointed with that either, I guess. Ayala, that's at 133. You know, it's a killer weight class, as is 184. I mean, they're all tough, but, boy, those are just pretty deep.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that here. Just running them down here really quick. Peterson is the number 8 seed. He'll open with Kale Lauritsen from Nebraska. Ayala, the number 6. He's got Marcel Lopez of SIU Edwardsville, the number 27 seed. And, of course, if that name sounds familiar, he was a former New London 4-time state champ. I believe he's still the Iowa record holder for career victories as well. So you've got 7 Iowa State titles going at it in that first round match at 133 pounds. Nasir Bailey, the number 7. He's got Braden Basil of Army, the 26th seed. Ryder Block, the 15th seed. He's got number 18, Eugene Harney out of Morgan State. Of course, you know, that's big. Is it Kenny Monday that's leading Morgan State?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I can't answer that question.
I know it's Historic Black College University. It was they just reinstated the program. So that's kind of a big deal. For them to be in the field, of course. And then Block wrestling them right out of the gate here, just kind of looking really quick.
Yeah, as long as you're talking about that, this is a kind of a unique thing at 149 with our 3 Iowa school qualifiers. So Block, these 3 are all in the round of 16, if they, assuming they win.
Right.
So in other words, Block will have Jackson Joy, the number 2 seed. Rachi will have Cross Wasluski from Penn, the number 3 seed. And Jacob Frost will have Shane Van Ness, the number 1 seed. So they got kind of rough draws or seeds there to pull that. But I kind of like where Block is. I guess I don't know much about this Jackson Joy. I mean, I know he's good, obviously, but I haven't watched him much or at all, actually. So I don't know if that's none of those 3 are really great draws, but that's interesting that they all landed kind of in the same spot with the number 1, 2, and 3 seeds.
Right. Actually, 3rd season for Morgan State. Kenny Monday is the head coach. Gerard Trice, you remember him, an assistant, as well as Kennedy Monday on staff there. They have 3 or 2 qualifiers in the field. So that's awesome to see there. Just kind of going back to Iowa really quick. Caliendo's a 3 seed. He opens with Thomas Snipes of the Citadel. Patrick Kennedy, the number 5 seed at 174. He's got Holden Garcia of Princeton out of the gate. Ferrari, as we said, the number 7. He's got Chase Kranitz of Pitt in the first round. Gabe Arnold, the number 27 seed. He's got number 6, Justin Rademacher out of Oregon State. Rademacher 23-3, so tough test there for Arnold. And then Keeter, the number 8 seed, he's got number 25, Alex Semenenko of Brown in the first round. And, of course, could see Cole Mirasola in the second round there. Are we in agreement the bottom half of that 133 bracket is just a meat grinder?
Yeah.
Ayala with the toughest draw probably out of anybody for the Hawkeyes.
Yeah, I mean, on top, you got the number 4 seed is Aaron Seidel of Virginia Tech at 18-1, and the number 5 seed, which I really like, the Larkins, Kyler Larkin of ASU, 18-2. So, yeah, that bottom half is a meat grinder, but there's some formidable wrestlers in that top half as well. But I don't know that any of them can beat Jack Forrest, but we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, well, the bottom half, really, almost like a mini Big Ten bracket where you've got number 2 Ben DeVino of Ohio State, who is the Big Ten champ, Lucas Bird of Illinois, who's the number 7 seed, who's a returning national champ. Then you've got Ayala at the number 6, who's a 2-time NCAA finalist. And then you've got Marcus Blaze, one of those impressive freshmen, the number 3 seed from Penn State. So that whoever gets through that that side of the bracket is going to really earn their shot come Saturday night. Not saying the other half doesn't. But boy, you're going through a gauntlet there just to get to the finals, which would probably either be Forrest or Seidel.
Right. As it is, it's the 1, 2, 3, and 4 place finishers in the Big Ten in that bottom half. Wow. Whew. Man, if that wasn't tough enough.
Yeah, right. Who do you think has obviously no road is easy when you get to this point of the season, right? But who do you think is kind of set up the best for Iowa? Is there anybody that's got a nice little, not an easy path, but something that you could say is a manageable path to maybe the podium?
Well, I would go with Caliendo on that question. That's probably he's earned that path by wrestling very well this year. So, but even then, I mean, you know, that he'll face, you know, in the quarters, I guess, Arujo from Nebraska or maybe Downey from you and I, so I just think probably that's the best route. For an Iowa wrestler is Caliendo's.
Really?
Makes sense. He's the highest seed.
So. Sure. I'm going to throw one out there, and I know Joy's pretty good, but, you know, you've seen Block have stretches of wrestling really, really well. I think 149 is about as wide open as just about any weight is, especially on that bottom side. I think Ryder Block has a decent opportunity in front of him. Obviously, Caliendo, that's a good one. Kennedy, I know he lost to Karchla at the Big Tens, but I think, he's had an advantage in that head-to-head. I know they're on the same side of Haynes, but I think a path to the semifinals is really doable for him. So I think those three, Caliendo, Block, Kennedy, are set up pretty good. And just to go with the first part, tough roads, Same thing with Ferrari as, well, not quite the same thing, but a similar situation scenario for Ferrari at 184, where you've got Aiden Sinclair on the bottom half as the number two seed, and then you've got Max McAnally from Minnesota as the three seed. You know, I think that's kind of a tough grouping. I know Brock Mantinona's on the top side as the number five, but boy, this sets up really well for Rocco Welsh and makes that bottom half really tough to maneuver through.
Right. In Ferrari's instance, he's in the same round of eight, I guess, with Aiden Sinclair, who I think they went into overtime early in that national duels, if I remember right. And Ferrari won that one. So, and I'm not sure where Ferrari's health is, you know. So, you know, remember he medical forfeited to eighth place in the Big Ten. So,
right.
You know, and Sinclair's good. I was reading the other day or today maybe that he hasn't given up a takedown yet. I don't think this year.
Wow.
And in 31 matches, that's not bad. But his only loss, I believe, is to Ferrari though. So that's the encouraging part. And as long as we're on 84, I'm going to bounce quickly to the other two schools. Nick Fox has the number four seed, James Conaway from, is it F&M?
And yeah, Franklin and Marshall.
Marshall. And you know, so I say, you know, look for a possible upset there. Nick, really? You know, he's, who knows, you know? I know he was at-large bid, but he's capable of pulling off that, I think. And then in that same first four, be the round of 32, whatever it is, 16. Isaac Dean. So if Nick were to win that, then he might have Isaac Dean from Iowa State if they were both to win their matches there. So look for an early matchup there if Fox can pull off the upset. So anyway, I just thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah. What are your five storylines to kind of follow when it comes to Iowa?
I'm curious with their injuries. You know, first of all, Ferrari's healthy. And Peterson has an eighth seed. I'm going to keep an eye on him as an All-American. That'd be nice. We talked about Bailey and Block, and Keeter, I guess. So I think they pulled down, and maybe I'm getting a cart ahead of the horse here. I think they have five All-Americans and with the potential for maybe a couple more. So,
really?
Yeah, that's my early pick here.
So a couple things I want to keep an eye on. One, you know, we talked about Ayala's path. He's somebody that's put things together here at this time of year. You know, it's his last go around. I know he's had some struggles throughout the season, but wrestled well at the – at the Big Tens. I think we need to watch and see if he can put together another NCAA run like he has the last 2 years. Also, you know, will we see Caliendo and Messenbrink again? And the reason why that's interesting is because Joey Blaze, even though he finished behind Caliendo, is the number two seed, you know, at the head-to-head obviously ranked a little more than the fact of how the conference tournament played out. But, you know, will we have another final? And will, you know, will Caliendo be able to do something he hasn't in the previous eight meetings? You know, Bailey, keep an eye on Nasir Bailey. He had a great Big Tens. You know, his only loss was to Mendez there. I think he's really benefited. As weird as it sounds, you know, he got hurt, had to miss almost a month of action. I think maybe it's kind of helped him a little bit, and we'll see if he can kind of keep the momentum that he created at the Big Tens. You touched on it, Ferrari's health, where's that going to be at? And then how will the City High kids do? You know, Gabe Arnold punched his ticket at 197, huge underdog there. You know, I think we mentioned like the 27th seed. You know, can he steal a few wins? You know, maybe knock off a guy here or there. You know, he's going to – the way he wrestles, he's going to be in a match. Can he get that one takedown that's probably going to be the difference? And then Keter, you know, Keter had a great postseason last year. He, like Ayala, he's had struggles. Will he be able to put it together? He had some nice wins at the Big Ten. You know, he's got a path to where, you know, I think – you know, he can win that first one. Then you got Mirasola the second round. I think that's a winnable match. And then that puts you in the quarterfinals and a win away, whether it's the front side or the backside, for making the podium again. And, of course, he was an All-American last year. So we'll see.
Yeah. He's got a tough route. If he wins his first match, then he's, like you said, has Mirasola the 9 seed. And then if he wins that match, he's got Bastida, the number 1 seed. And then a couple more after that to get to the finals.
I'm just talking about the podium. I'm not talking about the finals.
Oh, yeah. Keeter can do it, man. That kid's, we've watched him. We know what he's about. And if he gets a little offensive and gets rolling instead of playing defense, I think he can do it too. So, you know, when you get wrestling some guys that wrestle wide open like Bastida, then that might open you up a little bit. So,
true. We'll see. True. I think I'm kind of borderline 5-6. I think 5-6, I almost went 6-7. You can beat 5-6
for Keter.
Well, no, 5-6 for All Americans. I think Caliendo's probably the best bet to try to extend that finalist streak. Yeah. You know, that goes all the way back to Tom Brands' sophomore year in college. I think his freshman year was the last year they didn't have a finalist.
Isn't that like 33 years or something like that?
It's like 36 straight years, all the way back to like 89, 90, right around there.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
So I think Caliendo, do you think this is the year that gets stamped?
Yeah, it's a pretty good bet.
Okay. I mean,
no one's seated, but Caliendo's the sitting right here right now, he's the best bet to get to the finals. So you never know. We'll see.
Right. So, yeah, so I say 5-6, Elamere. Where do they finish as a team?
Well, I think they're going to wrestle pretty well. They may not have that finalist, or, you know, maybe they will. I don't know. But I think they're going to wrestle pretty well as a team, and I think they're going to pull in – this is going to sound funny – well as a team and still finish fifth with the potential for fourth. I'm kind of tossing between them and Nebraska at fourth and fifth. I think Iowa State – I'm going to just let you know where they land for me – is going to be at sixth.
Okay.
So that's kind of the where I've kind of been tossing in my mind a little bit.
All right.
I don't think they can beat obviously Penn State. I don't think they can beat Oklahoma State, and I don't think they can beat Ohio State. So the best finish I think they can have is fourth. I've got them penciled in at fifth, but I'm with Nebraska, so.
I think fifth is a good bet. Yeah. That's where I would go. Let's switch, since we're talking about Iowa State. Let's talk a little bit about their where they're sitting. Obviously, all 10 qualifiers. Steve O'Poland is the number 13 seed at 125. Garrett Grice, who stepped in for Evan Frost, is 28 at 133. Anthony Echemendia is number 4 at 141. Jacob Frost is number 16 at 149. Vinny Zurbin, who got the at-large bid at 57, is the 12th seed. Connor Uten is number 15 at 165, followed by number 11, MJ Gaetan at 74. Number 13, Isaac Dean, who you mentioned already, at 184. And then the leaders, Bastida, number 1 at heavyweight, and Rocky Elam, number 2 at 197, behind Josh Barr of Penn State. You know, is there anybody? Does Bastida finish this off? You know, it's been a remarkable season. You know, it was an injury in the quarterfinals that derailed him 2 years ago. If you remember, I think he broke his finger or something that really affected him. Does he finish this off this season?
I think yes. I think he does. And if you're an Iowa State fan, you're holding your breath open. Something like that doesn't happen.
Right.
But I think he does. I think he's outshined the rest of the class at heavyweight.
By now, far.
It's the national tournament. Anything can happen. We see upsets every year. So, but let's hope it's not younger.
Yep. Speaking of his path, you know, we already mentioned the 8-9 seeds there with Keeter and Mirasola. The other part of that upper half, you've got A.J. Ferrari at the number 4 and Nick Feldman, the number 5 from Ohio State. Either one of those two could one of those two be a roadblock for Bastida?
I agree, 100%. And Ferrari, you just never know. That guy could just explode and win it all. I mean, he's so strong and so talented, but he hasn't really, to me, opened up a lot in the matches that I've seen him wrestle in. And if he happens to do that, he could walk away with it.
The only thing I think that the only way I think, or I guess I should say, I think if Feldman ends up winning that quarterfinal between those two, I think Bastida, I don't want to say waltzes into the final, but I bet you he wins comfortably to get in the semi. I think if Ferrari makes it and right. knocks off Feldman, I think it's going to be a little tighter just because of how stingy Ferrari is.
Right.
How strong he is and how stingy he is. That might cause some fits for Bastida and get a chance to get him out of position, and then Ferrari takes advantage of it or gets into tiebreakers where, you know, I know Bastida's a lot better on top and in his mat wrestling, but I think Ferrari might still have an advantage. So if you get him to tiebreakers, that might be something that Ferrari can benefit, you know, kind of benefit from and be the only fly in the ointment, I guess, for Bastida. Yeah.
If you get to tiebreakers, Bastida has to hope that his activity on his feet throughout the match has created a couple of stall calls so that if they get to that point, that Ferrari can't just cling on and, you know, for a lead in terms of the riding time or whatever. So anyway, that's kind of, I was thinking of strategies as you were saying that.
Yep. And then obviously Elam, the number 2 seed, he comes in undefeated. You know, he's kind of long in the tooth, so he's seasoned. And, you know, is he, do we see back-to-back finalists there at 97 and in the heavyweight for the Cyclones?
I don't think 97 is that deep. So, yeah, definitely a possibility. But what worries me is Elam has been wrestling matches close this year. I'd like to see him out there dominating, and he hasn't necessarily for his experience and his success coming into this season. So I'm a little nervous there that hope he doesn't keep it close and get knocked off. Be one of the upsets that happens.
True. Cody Merrill, number 7 seed from Oklahoma State, kind of pushed him in the duel in one of those close matches. So, you know, that could be a problem in the quarters. So one thing I want to throw at you here, just a little tidbit. I think I got to credit Eli McCown of the Register for this. He said it's the first time the Cyclones have qualified all 10 wrestlers since 2010. Okay. So the reason why I bring that up, this year, the first time to have all 10 since 2010. That was the first, or technically the second NCAA tournament that I covered in Omaha. Do you know who the heavyweight and 197-pound champs were that year?
I was there. Let's see. I don't.
Jake Varner and David Zabriskie.
Oh, yeah. Really? You kind of led me that direction. I should have picked up on that.
Yeah. Yep. Cool. So the last year they qualified all 10s, Iowa State won at 197 in heavyweight. History repeated itself, maybe?
That'd be pretty cool.
It would be kind of a neat little deal. It's always funny how sometimes those things come back around, you know. And I think Iowa State had 3 finalists that year with Andrew Long, who got second to Matt McDonough. So if you had to bet on a third possible finalist for Iowa State, who would that be?
Well, I mean, that'd be Etchemandia, but he's got a tough route. I don't feel confident. He's a solid wrestler. Yeah. I mean, he's on that top half of Mendez, and he's been injured a little bit this season, Etchemandia. So, that's a tough bet there.
Right. You know, as far as the person with the best kind of path, I mean, you kind of look at, those two upper weights that are favored, you know. Frost, I think, got kind of a rough deal at 149 as the number 16 seed. So he's probably going to cross paths with Shane Van Ness early on. So I think that's pretty tough for him. You know, Garrett Grice, you know, gosh, he actually wrestled well in the Big 12 on short notice. But they, you know, we talked about Iowa kind of getting the benefit of some seeds. I think Iowa State kind of got some rough draws there. I expected them seeded a little higher.
Yeah, I agree as well. Throw in the Big 10, you know, into the Big 12, and I don't know, it didn't fare very well for the Cyclones. I agree with that 100%. Here's a little tidbit for our viewers if they weren't aware. So with 33 wrestlers in the bracket, your first round matchups, since they seeded all the way out, has to add up to 33. So like number one, well, we'll skip number one because there's a wrestling match here. So the number two seed would have to therefore wrestle the 31st seed, and 31 plus 2 is 33. So you go to the next round, theoretically, you'd have, number 2 versus, it has to now add up to 17 because it's around a 16 plus that extra one. So at 2 would wrestle then 15 would be the next highest seed there. So, and then the next round, so forth. So it's kind of neat to know that, and you can kind of in your head say, well, if Zerbin's a 12 seed, has to add up to 33, so then he's going to have the 23, 21 seed or whatever.
21 seed.
Yeah, yep. So that's kind of interesting to know that. And it took me a while to figure that out.
Yeah, I never really thought about it that way before. But that's good. Some of the storylines for Iowa State, obviously, we talked about it, you know, Elam and Bastida. I think it's really cool. At one time, these guys were rivals going head-to-head. Now they're shoulder-to-shoulder looking to wrestle Saturday night for a title, one after each other. You know, I want to keep an eye on Garrett Grice. You know, he was somebody that was kind of thrust in there when – Evan Frost wasn't able to go for the postseason. He's the 28 seed, but man, he showed he can wrestle with a lot of guys at the Big 12s and actually wrestled pretty well there. Wonder if he could make some type of run.
And if he's a 28th seed, listeners, what seed is he wrestling against? Number 5. He's got to add up to 33.
There you go.
It's against Kyler Larkin. And like I said earlier on, I like those Larkins from Arizona State. So that's a tough draw right off the bat. And once you get on that backside, KJ, you and I know it. We've watched it so many times. It's brutal back there.
Yes.
To get third place, especially if you lose that first round, you have to come back and wrestle. Win six or seven matches? I don't even remember. So it's just a gauntlet that you have to run through. And when you get a big win and you feel good about yourself, someone in the front side loses and drops right into your lap for the next match.
Yeah.
So anyway.
If you lose in the pigtail, you've got to win 5 straight.
Yeah.
To be able to get back.
Is it 5? I thought it would be more. Huh. I don't have it right in front of me.
Yeah, 5.
Okay. That's like brutal.
Yep. And then interested to see how the Northern Colorado transfers do. Poland at 13, Serbin at 12. Certainly, I think both were All-Americans last year. Can they do that again? Wrestle above their seeds? I think they both can.
I agree.
And then whether or not Etchebendia, can maybe pull a big upset, and then whether or not Iowa State gets in the trophy hunt. And I'll kind of throw it out there. I think they have 2 wrestle for titles on Saturday night. I think you've got 2, 4, 5, 6. I think they have 6 All-Americans.
Iowa State?
Yes.
Oh, that'd be great. I think based on their seeds,
I think Poland at 25. I know Zerbin's been banged up, but I think those 2 can all American again. You've got Elam and Bastida. I know Jacob Frost is going to have some work to do, but I think he's capable of a top 8 finish. And then you've got Etchebendia as well. So I think out of those 6, I think those guys, obviously the biggest long shot based on seeds is Frost, Zerbin being banked up. But I think 6 and then finishing 4th.
Wow.
Is in the cards.
All right. Wow. I've already mentioned mine. I think they're going to fall in at 6, and I think they're going to need the strength. You're going to have those three potential All-Americans that are the high seeds that we talked about, Elam, Bastida, and Etchebendia. But I'd like to see someone else break through and be an All-American, be a top 8. But I'm not sure who that's going to be. Poulin's got, have you noticed it? Did you see he's got his 11 years ago? He was a little guy and they sent out
with the mohawk.
With the mohawk, and when he was wrestling so well, and that's when I first saw him, was with that social media thing. And I turned my head and opened my eyes, but now he's shaved the mohawk and got it back again. So I think he's our guy that's going to be the guy to break through and be the 4th All American.
Okay. Maybe
more too. So. So I've got 3, and I've got them in at 6, and I'm hoping another one can break in at 4.
All right. Let's look at you and I now. They have 5 qualifiers. Julian Farber is the 20th seed at 133. He opens up with Jacob Bandia of Nebraska, tough draw there, the number 13 seed. Then at 149, we mentioned Caleb Rachi, the 14th seed. He's got Brock Herman from Arkansas, Little Rock, in the opening round. Ryder Downey is the number 11 seed. He's got Matthew Olguin of Oregon State out of the gate. And then Jared Sima, an at-large at 174. He's back at the NCAA tournament. He's got number 16, Nick Bine of Columbia. And then Nick Fox, the sophomore, 29 seed, has James Conway of Franklin and Marshall. Franklin and Marshall, I believe, it's a D1 program that does not give athletic scholarships.
Wow.
I think it's one of those schools. They're D1, but they don't offer athletic scholarships. I know there's other ways to get around that, but.
And I don't know why that reasoning is, but I got to say off the top of my head, I think it's a good thing if it helps them keep their program. Yeah, obviously yeah. Not good to the athletes that could possibly be earning one, but if it keeps the program on the map and up and running, then okay, I'm all for it. And if that's the case, you may see more with NIL and all the money getting, you know, kind of the scales tipping this way, the mm-hmm. haves and the have-nots. You might see some other schools go to that formula.
Yeah, could be. With you and I, what do you think walking away from Cleveland would be as a positive for them?
Oh, if they had an All-American, that'd be wonderful. I don't even. I just think
one.
That's to start with. Yeah, because they're not even close in seeds. I don't think. I guess Downey's 11th. He's three back, but right. But he's got a tough route. But he would be their best shot, I think. But Downey can. I mean, you never know with Downey. He's and same with Sima, who you know here's Sima, the 17th seed that was an at-large addition to the tournament. So he's got a pretty fair seed, I think. But unfortunately, it's not in a good spot.
Right.
And so, you know, if they can get an All-American, and I don't have them. I mean, I have them really right at the cusp of top 20. So
okay, I like their. I think they have a shot at two All-Americans. Downey, I think, is always capable, regardless of what his seed is. I know he's got Araujo of Nebraska and then Caliendo. I think he can get to the quarterfinals against Caliendo. And then if you get to the quarterfinals, you just have to win one. And I know it's easier said than done because that backside is so tough and coming off a loss makes it even tougher. But I think Downey can do it. And I just think 149 outside of the top, outside of Van Ness, I think is wide open. Rachi's got experience. He wrestled really well at the Big 12s. I could see him wrestling for seventh on Saturday morning. Possibly.
You know, he could pull up the upset of the number three seed, Wasluski from Penn, who, you know, good wrestler, solid, if I remember right, real strong wrestler. You know, but Rachi's on a roll right now. So he had a nice Big 12 tournament, and I think he's feeling good about himself. But, you know, hopefully the UNI wrestlers and some of the wrestlers from the Iowa and Iowa State aren't saying, oh, I'm so happy and glad and satisfied that I qualified for the national tournament, and that's that. Nah, right. If you're going, go for some hard work. Get on that podium.
We kind of talked about the teams overall. Obviously, Penn State's a heavy favorite. You got to think Oklahoma State, Ohio State, right up there in the top three with them. How many champs and All-Americans does Penn State finish with?
You know, funny you should say that because I'm trying to eliminate one or two.
Really?
I'm going, man, they could run the table almost. and I'm trying to figure out who may not win. So I did this. I pulled in six champs. Willowdale, Van Ness, Duke, Messenbrink, Haynes, and Barr. But and then that leaves Forrest and Welsh out. You know, Barr can maybe, hopefully Elam can step in there and have a say in there. But so I have him with six and maybe even eight.
Okay.
So I think Forest and Welsh lose in the finals. I had to pick two. I didn't feel comfortable saying eight.
You mean Blaze at 33 losing in the finals?
Well, 33, yeah, Blaze at 33. Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm mixing that up, aren't I?
Yeah, I like Van Ness. Van Ness, Messenbrink, Haynes, Barr. You know, four to five champs. I think they end up with nine All-Americans. I don't think they pull the Minnesota, get all 10 on the award stand. Braden Davis just hasn't had, you know, that consistency to make me think he's going to kind of break through there, especially when you've got guys like Hardy and Etchemandia, Bailey, you know, who's beaten them already. You know, Von Bauer's the eight seed there. Oliveri from Rutgers, who beat him at the Big Tens, is seated ahead of him as well. You know, CJ Camposito from Penn is decent and also seated in front of him. So I say they go 5-9.
Yep. And so my question is, does Messenbrink go the distance in any of his matches? And yeah, does Davis not get a team point deducted?
Yeah, right. We'll see. All right. If you had to bet the farm on one person coming through and winning a title, who would it be?
Messenbrink.
Who you just said, Messenbrink? Yeah, that's hard to deny him or Haynes, I think, is two of the locks. The other one, I think, after that, the other two I would go with would be Mendez and Bastida. Is next on the list after Messenbrink and Haynes.
I want to go Mendez right off the bat, but it's such a tough weight. 33 is, so.
41?
I mean, 41, sorry. Maybe it's true. Not as tough as 33, of course, but it's still darn competitive. So I probably would – I have faith in him, even though I say that. So I'm going to go Messenbrink Mendez.
Okay.
All right. So, in that order.
All right. So who is your Cinderella finalist? So somebody that's not seated in the top four to be wrestling on Saturday night.
All right. So I kind of looked at this by weight. So I'm looking at 25. Spratley is number five. Volk is number six. Those are two that – could possibly do it there. So I'm going to pull out one after I mention all these. At 33, okay. Kyler Larkin's five, Ayala's six, and Bird is seven. So those are some pretty decent wrestlers right there. 41, I didn't have really anyone. 49, not that deep of a weight. At 57, if I had to pull out, Cannon Webster is seventh, and Brandon Cannon is eighth. Webster from Illinois. Cannon from Ohio State. And then at 165, I'd like to think Downey, but no one beats Messenbrink on that top side, so no one there. 74, no one, even though I love the Montanonia brothers. Mm-hmm. They're just fun to watch and dangerous. I don't think they can break through there. 84, Angelo Ferrari. If he's healthy, look out there. And then it's 97, no one really. At 80, at 285, AJ Ferrari, like I said earlier. And then, you know, Connor Duche from Oklahoma State there as number seven. So of all of those, if you let me pull a number four, I would do Caleb Larkin at 57 from ASU. I just like those Larkin voices. But since you're not letting me have four, I'm going Angelo Ferrari.
Okay.
Best bet for me.
All right. For me, I really considered one of those guys at 33, those older, Bird or Ayala. Mm-hmm. I think Drake could be wrestling on Saturday night again. I also think Lucas Bird, you know, is right there to be able to do that. You know, Ferrari's actually a pretty good pick. One, I'm gonna go way off the board here. I'm gonna go way off the board. I know some people have kind of mentioned him on social media stuff, but I'm gonna go with Vincent Robinson from North Carolina State, the number 12 seed at 125, defending national champ, who's a 12 seed. Now, we've seen that doesn't necessarily correlate to you know, those past championships. We've seen NCAA champs lose early and not even make the stand, right? But, you know, I think 125 I think he could still do some damage as long as he's healthy. And, you know, I know he's 15-4, but, boy, if he can put things together, he's got the experience and he's had the success. He could be wrestling Saturday night if everything falls his way.
So he has, for the listeners, he's got the 21 seed first. Then he, you know, if everything falls to seed, then he might have Spratley from Oklahoma State, who's 16-3. And then he might have the 4 seed, Sheldon Seymour from Lehigh, who's 19-0. So those are, you know, you're right. That's not a horrible pick for such a deep seed.
And you got Lil Adol sitting there as the number 1 seed as well, you know, on that side. But, you know, he put it together last year. See if, you know, he would be somebody I would put, you know, a Cinderella bet on.
He's dangerous. I agree. That's not a bad pick. I like that. We're going so deep.
So the NCAA Division I championships are start Thursday, finish up Saturday. As we mentioned, in Cleveland, at the Rocket Arena there. Let's do a brief recap of the D3 championships here at the Lion Energy Powerhouse. This last weekend on Saturday, Wartburg came away with a team title, their 17th championship, 110 points. Wisconsin Lacrosse, coached by friend of the podcast, Dave Malachek, they were runners up with 68 points, edge Augsburg by a half a point. For second,
that's their highest finish ever, second place. So
he keeps doing great things there at Wisconsin Lacrosse. Good to see
Eagles,
that.
Eagles got to be feeling good. And did you just notice throughout the tournament in the stands, they're doing the fired up. Malachek, it wasn't just lacrosse. There was like three or four different teams. They just like doing this. It was fun to watch it.
I loved it too. There's such great energy there. Yep. You know, between that, the sea of blue, you know, the North Central fans, Augsburg, Messiah still had a huge crowd there, if I remember right, from Pennsylvania coming all the way over as well. You love seeing that support.
Absolutely, for sure. I mean, there's some neat, not just Messiah, but there's some others. I didn't write them down and I don't remember them off the top of my head, but there were some
Baldwin Wallace.
Sections full.
Yeah, Baldwin Wallace had a very vocal, fun group there. Of course, they're coached by Jamie Gibbs, former Western Dubuque prep and former co-wrestler as well.
I sat next to on media row next to Donnie from Baldwin Wallace, and he was helping me out. A young man that played football and came to take pictures for the team, and he was letting me know all about the Baldwin Wallace. Really a wonderful kid. I just love him. Awesome. So I'll make sure I mention Donnie.
Awesome. Yeah, you gotta love those the programs and stuff there. I just want to mention, just to backtrack to Wisconsin Lacrosse, they did have a champ in Tanner Gerber at 165, who actually topped Andrew Supers of Baldwin Wallace 4-0 in the final. So good there. Wartburg had three finalists. They had two champs in Cade Bloom at 141, and then Casey Ross at 184. The only weight class where you had one versus two in the finals, battle of unbeatens there. He topped Gannon Smith of Elizabethtown 5-0 in the finals. Wartburg also had a runner-up finish from Mitch Williamson at heavyweight. But, you know, we knew coming in they were the favorites. They had seven All-Americans overall. We knew this was one that they should win. If they didn't, kind of drop the ball, but they got it done.
Yeah, I mean, they had seven All-Americans, and I mean, about the only thing negative you can say is that they didn't again. They had a returning champ that didn't repeat, and then eight of their last nine. That's the case. So I mean, that's something that they might want to look at.
Central had a champ as well, Cade Siebrecht, former Lisbon state champ. He won the 149-pound championship. He scored a takedown with about 12 seconds to go to beat Dominic Malander of Wisconsin Whitewater, 4-1. Siebrecht, what a journey he's been on, where he was at the University of Iowa, left there, went to South Dakota State, had knee injuries, actually came home, got a call from some wrestling buddies who were at Central, said, hey, why don't you come join us here? Ended up coming to Pella, you know, kind of got reinvigorated a little bit. Didn't qualify last year, but this year finishes off 29-1 in a national champ. So one heck of a trek for him. And, of course, you saw I kind of tagged him in a story as Cardiac Cade because of his, you know, his thrilling matches where he pulled out victories and tiebreakers as a coach. You lose some years off your life there when you got a kid pulling out victories at like that.
I'm telling you, as a fan, as a casual fan, that's how close it was. I mean, in the quarters, he won on 3 seconds riding time in the tiebreaker. So the other kid gets 6 seconds of riding time, and now Cade has to choose to either go down or start on his feet and use the whole 30 seconds trying to take him down. And they chose to put Cade down, and he gets away and does a nice little switch action and escapes, and with 3 seconds left on the board to win that quarterfinal match. And then in the semifinals, he got an escape, which was the difference in tiebreaker. And then in the finals, before the finals, I was talking to Brian Hall, his high school coach. And Brian said he was talking with Cade prior to the finals. He goes, just trust your double. Trust your double. It's so good to Cade. And, you know, who knows how Cade received it. But then with, less than 10 seconds left, he gets the takedown using the double leg that Brian was talking about. And so that was kind of fun to see that. Brian was, by the way, right on the floor, right next to the raised floor. And I could watch him and his response. And that's pretty cool for Cade and all the Lisbon community. Yeah, I mean, the surrounding areas.
Yep. That was great. You know, to see, like you said, it was a perfect reshot into that double that he converted on. It was pretty sweet, and to do that so close to, you know, where you competed as a high schooler is awesome.
Right.
Somebody similar in the finals that competed, you know, in the same metro where he competed as a high schooler and even in college, Braden Park. Park with a great tournament run to the finals, lost to North Central's Christian Guzman, the 125 championship. Guzman named outstanding wrestler of the tournament, so that puts it in perspective a little bit. But Park, one heck of a tournament, one of two All-Americans for Cove. Bo Kudum also, I believe, placed seventh at 165, but Park came in as the number 11 seed, beat the number six, the number three, and the number seven seeds to get to the finals, and wrestled really, really tough before running into Guzman there in the championship match.
And I talked to Brain's dad before the finals and said, congratulations. We didn't talk about the finals. That was, you know, you don't want to go there yet, especially since Guzman had looked so, so good. I mean, if I'm remembering, I see the defending champ as well, so a two-timer, but such a great wrestler. And so it was a 19-3 technical fall over Park, but that tells you how good Guzman was. But Park had just a fabulous, I mean, he's 11th seed, ends up in the finals. So very, very good tournament. Proud of him.
Yep. Yeah. And he's a two-time, he's a sophomore, two-time All-American, got fifth last year. So I think Cove brings back all their five qualifiers from this year. So I think some big things ahead for the Cove Hawks. I expect Park to be right in there in the mix again next year, seeing just how much he's progressed and puts it together at the end of the season. Had a really good year overall. So expect big things from them. And I think Cole will have a high expectations going into next year. Luther also had a finalist, probably not the one many expected. Clayton McDonough, the number one seed at 165. He ends up being an All-American again, finishing sixth. But at 174, his twin brother Bryce McDonough ends up finishing second, getting to the finals, falling to College of New Jersey's Hunter Mays, who I believe was a former D1 wrestler at one time. McDonough lost 8-6, but his first NCAA tournament ends up, and his last, he's a senior, ends up with a runner-up performance.
Right, and with his brother, he had obviously had an injured knee, and that was, I think, he had to wrestle through it. It wasn't bad enough that he couldn't wrestle, but that happened, I'm pretty sure, in the regionals, because he had did a medical forfeit there, right. and in the finals, and then so he is kind of wrestling with that. That was part of it, but good run for the family in spite of that injury. Certainly need to be proud of that for sure. With Clayton. So,
yep. The McDonoughs, they both made the semifinals. I have to look back, but I'm pretty sure it's the first time Luther had two semifinalists in the same year since 2016, where Dakota Gray and Drew Van Enroy made the semifinals there. And then Bryce McDonough became their first finalist since Justin Kreider. Of course, a lot of people recognize the Kreider name in wrestling, but Justin Kreider was a finalist and runner-up in 2017 for Luther. So one other thing of note for Bryce McDonough, you know, he wrestled Dustin Boren from Loras, who was the number three seed in the quarterfinals, had never beaten Boren. Six or seven times they said they've wrestled in college, never beat him. And then he beats him in the quarterfinals his senior year in his first NCAA tournament. That should be a perfect example for coaches to bring up to anybody.
Right.
It only takes one, right? Yeah. I remember that from the state tournament last year with Niall Sin, who had never beaten his semifinal opponent until that semifinal his senior year. Only one. You only need one. Doesn't matter what the rest of the matches were like. It's that one time, and Bryce McDonough, you know, kind of got over that hurdle to get into the semis and become an All-American, and then even the advanced after that was dominant in the semis there to get to the finals. And even though it wasn't a title, great way to finish his career. Speaking of Loris, they had three All-Americans with Boren, Eric Kincaid, and Jonah Clark at heavyweight. Central, Loris, I think, finished seventh overall. Central was 10th.
Loris was eighth, I think.
All right. Central 10th, Co tied for 13th, and Luther 15th. So that's five teams in the top 15 for the American Rivers Conference here in their own backyard. So I think they got to be pretty happy with that.
Yeah, and it's kind of fun because besides La Crosse and Augsburg and actually at New York University, NYU, kind of battling for that second trophy and actually third, because third gets a trophy, fourth doesn't. So La Crosse was 68, Augsburg 67.5, and NYU is 65.5. So they're right in there. So that's kind of fun to watch that battle for the second and third place trophy. But then also, it's important to be able to say you're in the top 10. So we had six teams that were battling for that 10th spot.
Going it was.
Into the semi or into the consolation finals, and then the placement matches, and then also in the finals. So three teams had a chance to jump over University of Chicago, who was sitting at 10th, and all three of those teams of the six that were able, all three of them had a finalist, and that was Luther, Co, and Central. So Central obviously won. Seabrook won. They jumped it, and then the Co and Luther did not win their finals matches. And so that was kind of fun to watch that as a team battle. It just makes it fun when you've got those things going on. So,
oh, for sure, for sure. And we got to give a tip of the caps to our friend Dick Simmons for a great event that he organized there at the Alliant Energy Powerhouse. So,
yeah, he's a man. Hey, one other kind of neat thing I thought this was cool. This is the number of medalists that were from Iowa high schools. So remember, there's 80 medalists because there's 10 weights, right? 8 times 10, if I'm doing that right, there's 80 medalists. So 10 of them came from Iowa high schools. We've mentioned most of them, but let's mention the high school too. So Kudum from Coa is from Lawton. Park is from Marion and Lindmar. The McDonoughs are from Nora Springs, so there's 4. Bloom is from Roland. Ross is from Urbandale. And then Seabrook is from Lisbon. And then Boren is from Bettendorf, Kincaid is from Comanche, and Clark is from Jonah Clark, the heavyweight that likes to throw. Yep. He came out of the weight room last year, is from Wayland. And wow. He finished third. So that's pretty cool. 10 of the 80. That's 1/8 of them are from Iowa high school. I like that.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't think about it that way. But no, that's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. Any other final thoughts before we close up shop for this week?
Nope. I'm good. I think we got it.
All right. Just want to mention NAIA had their women's championships. Grandview was second, I believe, or William Penn was second. Jake Cadle named coach of the year. Grandview was third behind Life, who was the team champ. But that'll finish things up. For us, one more pinning combination podcast to go after the D1 championships this weekend. And, of course, the press row at D3s was named after our friend and former contributor here at the pinning combination podcast, Wyatt Schultz. Dick Briggs has got the poker chip in his memory. Why don't you go ahead and take us out?
Like it says on the poker chip, let's keep wrestling on the move.
Travel should be simple. With Gazette Travel, every detail is handled. You just show up and enjoy with fellow Iowans. View available trips at thegazette.com/travel.